That's a fun song we've been working on for a while, and we were so glad we could do that song before Malin had to go off to college. That was one of her requests. So thank you, choir, for your hard work, and thank you, Jim, for your direction. Okay, so we are continuing in the book of Jeremiah. We are going to be in chapter 4 this week. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's going to be page 735. So Jeremiah, chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 11 and 12, and then jump down to 22 through 28. So here we go, Jeremiah, starting verse 11. Jeremiah 4, starting verse 11. At that time, this people and Jerusalem will be told, a scourging wind from the barren heights in the desert blows toward my people, but not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that comes from me. Now I pronounce my judgments against them. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty. And at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruin before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn, and the heavens above grow dark. Because I have spoken and will not relent. I have decided and will not turn back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So over the past couple weeks, we've looked at several passages throughout Jeremiah. And a couple weeks back, I asked the question, what or who are you worshiping? Hopefully you had time to think upon that, pray upon that, and decide that God, our Father in heaven, is the one you are worshiping. And then we went on to Jeremiah 18, where we talked about being clay in the potter's hand. And I asked you the question, what or who is molding you? Is it the world, or is it God? So now I ask this question. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Now that seems like a pretty straightforward question, but there's a little more to it than we might think. And that's the question I want you to have in your mind as we go through this passage. Do I know the Lord? Because I saw the key verse in this reading, in verse 22, where God says, they do not know me. Therefore, all this devastation occurred. Israel did not know the Lord. Now, as I was looking at that, I thought, okay, we've got to have a better understanding of the word to know. What does it mean to know something? Now, before I get into a biblical dictionary quote, I thought back to an illustration I heard in seminary about what it means to know something. Now, if you were sitting in a room within a building, there are no windows, and an alert popped up on your phone that said, it's raining outside, there are thunderstorms in the area, you would have a knowledge that rain is falling. Okay, so you know it's raining. Now, if you were to go out of their room and kind of check things out, how bad is it? You walk to the outside window and you look out, you see the downpour. You have a better understanding of it, that it's raining. Now, what if you were late to work that day and you get out of your car during that thunderstorm? You really understand that it's raining. Now, if we take that type of thought process and put it to our understanding of God and our walk with Him, do we simply have an academic knowledge of God? Have we seen Him work in other people's lives? Or has the Holy Spirit regenerated your soul? And you know God because the Spirit is in you, and you are a redeemed, reconciled child of God. I saw an interesting quote online this week that said, believing in Jesus but not obeying Him is exactly what Satan does. Let that sink in for a minute. Believing in Jesus but not obeying Him is exactly what Satan does. So I was reading the Evangelical Biblical Dictionary, Dictionary of Biblical Theology, excuse me, and this is a quote from Walter Elwell talking about know and knowledge in the Old Testament. And he writes that know/knowledge appears almost 950 times in the Hebrew Bible. It has a wider sweep than our English word know, including perceiving, learning, understanding, willing, performing, and experiencing. To know is not to be intellectually informed about some abstract principle, but to apprehend and experience reality. Knowledge is not the possession of information, but rather its exercise of actualization. Now he goes on further in talking about how to know God. He says, to know God is not to struggle philosophically with His eternal essence, but rather to recognize and accept His claims. It is not some mystical contemplation, but dutiful obedience. And the knowledge, the opposite of knowledge is not ignorance, but rebellion. Israel rebelled because they did not know God. Now, the title of this sermon is Judgment, Yet Grace. Judgment, Yet Grace. And even in a passage like this where we can say, Pastor, I don't see grace. What are you talking about? Drop down to verse 27. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. He was judging. He was disciplining. But He was also fulfilling His promise to save. Judgment, yet grace. So Israel, God's chosen people, did not know God. Therefore, they were judged for the wickedness in their hearts, which led to their sinful actions. But where there is judgment, there is also mercy and grace. How do we see God's judgment and grace? I want to try a little experiment here. I would like you to close your eyes for a moment as I build a word picture. Picture a destroyed and desolate Jerusalem. Smoldering fields, broken and fallen walls, dead soldiers everywhere. Now open your eyes. With that picture in your mind, this is the judgment that we all deserve. Now, picture the cross. All that judgment that we deserve was willingly taken by Jesus Christ. I heard a very interesting illustration a couple weeks back. There was a pastor I was watching online. Yes, I go watch other pastors. I need to be filled as well. Here are other ways of looking at scripture. So I was watching this one pastor online, and he gave an illustration of what it means for God to be fully just and fully loving. And imagine a king back in ancient times. He is lauded to be the most just and most loving king there ever was. One day, an advisor comes to him, says, "My lord, someone has been stealing from the royal treasury." So the king, in being a just, righteous king, says, "Put out a decree. When we find this person, they will receive 7 lashes. While time goes on, the theft continues, and the advisor comes to the king again. Says, "My lord, it is continuing. We are losing still more money from the treasury. Someone is stealing from us. Put out a decree. This person shall receive 40 lashes. Now, in biblical times, 40 lashes was a death sentence. So he decreed that whoever was continuing to steal from the treasury was to be put to death. Sadly, they found that the king's daughter was the thief. What's he to do? To be fully just, he must punish sin. He must carry out the command, the decree. But if he does, is he fully loving to watch his daughter die? What is he to do? So on the day, he brings his daughter out. She's tied to the post. The guy with the whip is right there to do the punishment. King says, "Stop, wait a minute." He runs down. And he wraps his body around the stock. After ripping his own shirt open, said, "Now do it." "But sir, that'll kill you." "Now do it." That's what your king has done for you. And because of his grace and mercy, our loving response is to follow and obey, to know God, to know him, to love him. That is our response. Do you know God? Now, probably one of the most difficult things to preach is a message after something horrible has happened in the world. Because we all wrestle with evil. We all wrestle because we're not in a vacuum. The world around us continues. How do we deal with evils in the world? We seek to know God. And when we see evil in this world, sometimes we see it run rampant, like random attacks, continuous wars, and political assassinations. But most of the time, it silently sneaks into our lives and slowly poisons us with lies mixed with truth. This is where evil grows. And these heinous acts are the result of that evil that has grown. Just this past week, I saw three instances of church leaders, ordained, robe-wearing reverends, leading their congregations astray. One has subtly swayed their flock away from the truth of Scripture. The second preached incorrect theology to fit their personal desires and views of God that they wanted to believe in, while the third blatantly spewed heresy from the pulpit. I obviously cannot know their hearts, but I worry that, like Israel in this passage, they do not know the Lord of the Bible. Now, time does not allow us to examine all three scenarios in detail, and I'm not going to name drop and call people out, but I'm going to focus. And our focus needs to be on God. So I'm simply going to call out the most egregious errors so that you are equipped to know God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, the one who preached to fit their own desires started preaching, one, without even opening the word. Did not read Scripture, only referenced it. And in referencing Scripture, they made a fatal error. One, in saying that God did not know how to react to us, that he was caught off guard when we sinned. Somehow, God didn't know the future and was reacting to our actions. This is called open theism, that God does not know the future, that God is not sovereign over creation, which is false. Because Scripture tells us that God has all of creation, all of salvation history planned out, and he knows everything. Now, the blatant one, this one's straight out demonic. A pastor stood in front of their congregation and was going over the story of the fall in Genesis. And they said, straight out, God lied to Adam and Eve. You have people in the church who will spew heresy. And you need to be equipped to rebuke that. The claim was that Eve saw that taking the fruit and having the knowledge of good and evil was somehow the hero of that passage, that somehow today we have the moral ability to know the difference between good and evil because of the sin that was done in the garden. As if that was a good thing, that God lied to Adam and Eve. What was the serpent trying to do to Eve? What did he do? Deceived. By doing what? Calling doubt. Doubting God, the Creator. He had the same message. Did God really say you couldn't eat of all the trees in the garden? devil is a liar. And if you do not know God, he will lie to you. And in this day and age, he slithers into our church. He casts doubt, mixing truth with lies so that you will swallow it. So you need to know God. My brothers and sisters, we don't come to church just to be good. We don't come to have friends and a sense of belonging. We don't come to make us feel good. We come to know God, to praise God, to glorify God, to confess our sins before God, to follow Christ, to be his disciples. Do you know God? Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Israel's destruction is because they did not know God. Let us not follow in their path. Let us come to God, praise him, glorify him, give him all the honor and praise. Then what do? Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." Called us to action. Go and make disciples. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. We cannot sit idly by and watch evil spread. Jesus has already conquered sin and death. He's already fought the battle. He's already won. And he tells you to go make disciples, to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And if we know God, we love God, we love God, we obey God. Now, at risk of being too verbose this morning, I'll end by saying, if you don't know God, fall on your knees humbly before him and call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit will restore your soul, reconcile you to God the Father. And then come around your brothers and sisters here in this church, or wherever you are, wherever this message reaches you. Come around your brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, so you may be built up, you may learn about God, you'll grow in spiritual maturity. Be in the scriptures, be in prayer, be in fellowship with the body. Go and make disciples. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to fully know you. Help us to understand what you have laid before each and every one of us. Because as your holy scriptures tell us, that each one of us has been given a spiritual gift. Father, if there's any here who does not know you, call them. If there's any here that does not know their gift, show them. If there's any here that lacks courage to go out and proclaim your kingdom, embolden them so that we may give all the honor and glory to Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, our Savior and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.